Yo. Hey. Can you hear me? You listening to
Hashtag W-A-W. What a week.
Yeah, yo.
What a week.
Week.
It's the start of the show on the hump of the year, so how about we get over it by getting into it? Welcome back to Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
At one time, he was going nowhere slowly, but he's made some progress since then, we'd like to think. He's a guy that can pull things out of a hat. Mainly rabbits, not hares. But then also give you a scientific explanation of how a rabbit and a hare are different. Please give a wow welcome to comedian, magician, and science fan, Stuart Taylor.
Pow, 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 pow. Am I supposed to do my own round of applause?
No, we're going straight into it.
Wow, how is it? The freshest of the fresh.
Stu, how you doing, brother, man?
That's good, man. Good to be here. Good
welcome.
Joburg.
So you're a trained magician.
I went to the College of Magic.
Yes.
Yes, in Cape Town.
Like literally early 2000s.
Like, no. Like, when I was a kid. Like, when I was at high school.
So you've been at it.
Yes. And then I think, like, I graduated from the College of Magic when I matriculated.
Oh, wow.
Then I was just out doing kids' birthday parties and trying to score tequila at the bar with card tricks. That was my life at varsity.
So you were the drunk magician I read about back then.
Pretty much.
And then you got a BSc.
Then I went and got a science degree.
Jeez.
And then I was like, okay, but the science is fine. It's lovely for fun.
Yeah.
But the magic thing might have potentially if I put it in a comedy setting.
Oh, yeah.
And then the comedy took over the magic. And here we are 25 years later.
You know, with all due respect, but science and BSc types are not known to be the most fun or funny. How did you get it right?
I think I certainly didn't fit in with the rest of the BSc types.
So you were the clown in the class.
I was a little bit. Actually, I was very quiet. Yo, yeah. I went to Stellenbosch University, so I did not speak much because I did not speak the language.
Which is like, what, Afrikaans?
I wrote Afrikaans very well, but I didn't speak it particularly well.
Oh, yes.
Like the only time I felt compelled to like attempt and like really bring my A game was when I met my wife because she was Afrikaans speaking. And I was like, okay, no moet ek praat, want sy is mooi en ek wil met haar gesels en dan hy toe. Hallo, dame, hoe gaan met jou? Kind of situation, slide in there and speak my best Afrikaans.
The first thing I would have said to her, because that's all I know, would have been to hond bluff. How's it?
Woof, woof. Charmed.
I'd love to be woof you. Welcome to Joburg. You haven't been here in a while, right?
It's been a minute since I've been in Joburg. Yeah. Like, and especially with a show, like I haven't been to... I can't remember the last time I brought like a solo show to Joburg.
Yes, sir.
I did like little bits of comedy club stuff here and there, but
yeah.
It's been a while. So I'm very happy to be touring with a new show, and I'm very happy to be in Joburg with it.
So you had an interesting Uber ride. Tell us about the...
Yeah, I was at dinner last night.
Yeah. Right?
And then the guy asked me, do you live here? I said, no, I'm just out for the weekend. I'm at Monte Cassino the weekend.
Yeah.
Then the guy proceeds to give me the blueprint for success in entertainment.
Oh, wow.
Like, literally, he just starts waxing lyrical about consistency, about quality.
So
about...
I guess you didn't go for the quiet please option on your Uber.
I clearly did not.
Okay.
I clearly did not. And this guy just starts going and but with such, with scientific precision.
Sure.
Breaks down things for me. It's just like,
and I guess you're not going to share with us because you want to implement it yourself.
All it came down to was consistency. He was just talking about I would always, my favorite quote around stand-up, people
yeah.
say, how do I become a stand-up? My favorite quote is that there's no substitute for stage time,
yes.
right? I fully believe that. If you want to reach your peak, you've got to have stage time.
I argue that with guys who learned to DJ, that unfortunately deck time... is nothing can replace deck time.
You cannot.
Yeah.
You cannot. That is the craft.
Yeah.
So there's an open mic gig over there. Don't go, but I'm not booked. No, you go and you get up on stage.
Yes.
And it doesn't, it's the consistency later on when you found your voice and you're good at it. That's what will keep you sharp. That's
yeah.
like getting to the gym.
Yeah.
But when you're starting off, there's no substitute for stage time. I've always believed that.
Yeah.
I feel, however, in the world we live now, mm-hmm. that there's no substitute for consistently putting your art out into the world.
Yes.
Like, for many years, I kind of played things close to my chest. I've done, like, do you know me, one-man shows? I've done, like, 15, 16 solo shows,
yeah.
right? all of them in excess of an hour, hour and a half of material. And I think I've shot one or two or four or five, and I've released one.
That's shocking.
They sit on a shelf, and for me,
it's about your hand. We need to smack your hand. No, bad. Not bad, dude.
I know.
So you failed to document all of this magic.
I did not document it. And what I didn't put out because I didn't think the quality was good enough. Now the learning is, let the quality be bad in the beginning.
Yes.
Much like your stage time will be bad.
Let people see the difference.
Yes, and let them go, oh, wow, that was you back in the day, and look at you now.
Yeah.
And that's so pretty much what the Uber driver was talking about that. But must I tell you the most mind-blowing thing? And this is the thing that kept mad me have sleepless nights.
Yeah.
Then he said, I said, how could you possibly know all of this and speak with such authority on this?
Yeah.
Then he said, I know nothing. I'm just a vessel.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And the Uber driver, the door opened and I got out.
And he dropped.
Then I was like.
And he dropped again.
Yeah, I was like, did this trip even happen? How good was the wine at Dan Nichols' house?
The Twilight Zone.
So consistency, that's the key.
That's what we had a chat about with Skalk Bezadenhout when we had him on the show. I was telling him about how his consistency with his vlogs at the beginning of lockdown was probably the best thing he could have done for his career.
Fully.
And whatever fruits he's reaping right now.
Yes.
He planted that seed back then.
100%.
With that consistency.
Imagine an entire world at home with nothing to do except occasionally look at their phone.
Yeah.
And you feed them. Now, that's the thing. This is where I think what the message of Los Nightos, but you've got to feed them.
Yes, give them something.
You've got to give them something. Yes. And that means, and I've kind of been in that space for the last couple of months where I've gone, okay, no, I've got a ton of material, so I'm going to feed it to you. I'm going to go, I can't say come to my show.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
But I can say, oh, did you laugh for that? Cool, come to my show.
Exactly.
It's a slightly different sell.
I've been also encouraging, especially bedroom producers and DJs, exactly the same thing.
Yes.
That a lot of you are hanging on to your music, saying, I'm waiting for a deal.
No.
A lot of you are hanging on to your music, saying, I don't want to release too much stuff. But my argument is, your music is useless in your hard drive.
Yes.
But if you sell, even if it's just a self-release, even if it's low-key,
yes.
But if it's out there,
yes.
The day you have that one hit, you already have catalog. Because when people search for your name, there's 100 tracks. We might not know them.
Yes.
But that is your CV.
It's a smarter way. And I think, do you know what it is? It's these big deals that cause us the anxiety. So you go, oh, Seinfeld got $100 million for this thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold on until I can get my $100 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know that's how much Seinfeld gave to the world in order for him to get that $100 million.
He did a whole show about nothing.
Exactly.
It became the biggest show on the planet.
Exactly. So you go, no, man, you can't compare yourself. Just keep giving. Put it out there.
Yeah.
And that's what people like Skalk have done.
Yeah.
And the consistency, as you say. For a global audience now, that guy can go to Australia and play to, whether even if you're going into a 200 seater and playing to 150 people, that is freaking incredible.
Yeah.
And the rand dollar exchange rate means that you can go and the 200 people, you'll make lots of money.
And if you kick ass, those 200 people know another 200 people.
Exactly.
And then eventually you have a 1,000 people arena.
Fully.
Before you know, you're a global star.
100%.
But no, we'd rather keep our shit to ourselves.
No. So that's the year endeth today's lesson.
Anyway,
let's put it out.
So there's a story of a Senegalese government minister.
Mm.
He's in France.
Right.
You know these African attire, shiny...
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a shiny African cloth.
Right.
So he's in blue, like Arsenal. And he's walking the streets.
Like a powder blue kind of situation.
Yes. So he's walking the streets.
Looking like a curtain.
And then Senegalese folk recognize that that's one of our ministers from Senegal. And we think some of his governance is poor and the policies are cuck.
Oh,
they beat him up.
Wow. When he's vulnerable, bro, when he didn't have security detail.
That's what a lot of people say on the internet, but where was his entourage?
But here's the thing. So now, the South African government got lambasted for taking a massive entourage with him for the peace talks, because they were like, peace talks were happening, Russia-Ukraine situations, and then like... The UK arrived with like four people and Poland arrived with two people.
Zambia, four or five.
Yeah, and then South Africa, 120. That's how many layers of protection our people need. for the to fend off the PKs that will come. Whatever. If we see our politicians just walking in the streets.
Also, are they avoiding the flying push-ups?
I think so. I think that's it.
Makes sense.
They know, even in Russia, there's a bra waiting there.
In fact, there was a funny comment under that story because the guys were in blue.
Yes.
And this guy is like, that's exactly what Arsenal felt the whole season.
This was a live representation of an Arsenal. It was an Arsenal art installation.
and you know what the sad thing is with a lot of African leaders? They will always go back to the mother colonizer.
Yes.
For
yes,
healthcare, for yes, shopping, that yes, go there to be educated.
Yes.
And
yes,
if you are in government, why are you not making shit so good?
Yes.
That there's yes, no reason for you to be treated in a hospital yes, in Paris.
I would argue even on a smaller scale, because yeah, sure, the top dogs get to go overseas.
Yeah.
But our entry-level yeah, government officials will go to the private hospitals as opposed to the hood hospital.
And maybe that's what Africans need to have a big meeting about.
Yes.
We must have a meeting where every country sends representatives.
Mm-hmm,
and we come back and we tell every government official in every African country that if you don't make shit good enough for your own children,
yes,
then there'll be shit to pay for it.
That's exactly it. So Like, it's been like that for years.
Yeah.
It's been like that for years.
And we accept it.
100%. Like, I know my dad knew, like a high-profile struggle leader dude. Yeah. We had no respect for.
Yeah.
Because he was going, and I was like, why do you not like this guy? This is many years ago. Like, people throwing stones. And I remember him going, but his MO is to encourage all of our kids to be staying away and throwing the stones. But his kids or at a private school.
Imagine.
Not missing a single day getting a killer education. And now, with really high-profile jobs running many of our multinationals over here, you go, but you made our kids the sacrificial lambs.
Our kids were throwing stones on your behalf.
Yes. And then you kept your own.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good.
No, there has to be a change.
100%.
If a government hospital is not good enough for you to use, then you are clearly fucking around.
Completely.
If the school down the road from the township you grew up in, Mr. Government Official, is not good enough for your kids, then you are fucking around.
Fully.
Anyway, speaking of fucking around, Kaizer Chiefs is a brand new coach.
They do. Tell me. Where does he come from?
Former Bafana Bafana coach, Mulefenzeki.
So amazing stock, you know, really good quality stock, killer track record. Just bringing that winning ways.
So I'm in a group with a bunch of comrades and political types.
Yes.
And half of us are Kaizer Chiefs, half of us are Orlando Pirates.
Right.
Us on the Kaizer Chiefs side are very unhappy. Like, we are very unhappy.
But there's half that group.
And then the half
ecstatic,
are like...
ecstatic.
I don't know. The thing is, I want to give him a chance. But he was part of the technical team that performed badly previous season.
Right.
Didn't exactly do the best at Bafana Bafana.
So now how...
And then I also remind myself that, we were once told this is a family business. Don't tell us how to run our team.
Yes. That is quite a famous quote there.
So gonna mind our own business and hope this team doesn't continue to break our hearts.
You know what? That's the thing. I suppose your sports team is it's a love hate relationship. It's
so love hate, dude. Right now it's just
lots of
it's abuse.
It's abuse. But that's the thing, because you need a couple of really bad seasons to make the good season great.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is. They keep you humble, bro. And when they take you to the top, it feels like the highest peak.
Okay, so basically what you're saying to me is if I came up to a guy and said, I'm not doing too well, I'm broke, you're the guy that says, you're broke, the doctor says I have a week to live. Is that what you think?
Something like that, my man. Something like that.
All right, we'll treat it as perspective. So I need to share a story with you.
Yes.
2 months ago, my Ford Bucky van, or truck if you're American, was hijacked in Harangua.
Oh no, were you in it?
No. I was in driving. Anyway, so our Bucky is hijacked.
Right.
And then call the cops.
Right.
To say to the cops, Bucky has been hijacked. Here are the details.
Right.
And then they gave a reference number.
Yes.
For that report that yes. we just gave. Within 5 minutes, another call comes in and says, so which insurance company did you say you insured with again? We didn't quite get it when you gave the report. So we're like, no, we never said which insurance company. Who are you? What do you want?
Yes.
So it turns out a lot of these syndicates
yes.
have cops that also work with some employees of the insurance companies. So had we said to them, for instance, we're insured by X Insurance.
Right.
Well, a guy from X Insurance that knows exactly where the tracking device is. Then they don't have to search the whole car, you see. You see. So, for instance, so had we told them which insurance company we're with.
Wow.
Then they would have called the guy from that insurance company. That would have told them, oh, the tracking device is probably in one of these three places.
Jeez.
How wild is that?
That is quite wild.
How wild is
that? You must always follow the money. Ask who benefits here? Who benefits them?
But anyway, it's because they've moved the tracking device. I want to shout out Discovery Joe.
Oh, well done, well done.
The vehicle was tracked like this.
Is it?
And by the time they found it, number plates had been changed. It was being delivered to, I think, the Mozambican border.
Wow.
There's already a buyer waiting for my bucky.
Oh, my. That is crazy.
In a couple of hours, number plate conned.
That is
but
crazy.
They ripped every place up looking for this tracking device. Obviously, they didn't find it. That's how we got the vehicle back.
Amazing. Well, listen, so Discovery is, I think they're interesting in some ways, because I've got both my vehicles on Discovery. They wouldn't let me see where the tracker goes.
You're not supposed to see it. Because
so they were like, if you can just exit, so I don't, all I know is that the vehicle was up on a lift. That
it was hoisted.
Hoisted. Whether that was smoke and mirrors, they were just hoisting it after they hoisted it in the cabrio. I don't know. But it was up on a hoist at some point. And then on the Mercedes, it's just like a box here by my rear view mirror. I'm like, so clearly it's a Fortuna that's in high demand over here. That one we hide away completely.
Humble brag. If you do comedy and you're a scientist, you might just own a Mercedes. So please work a little bit harder. Thank you very much. I found it interesting that they say the reason they don't let you see where they put the tracking device is some people, because they might want to get rid of the vehicle for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Then I could fake a hijacking.
Fully.
And
fully.
Exactly where the tracking device is.
It is. It's quite a... The tracking thing is it's a blessing and a curse. I was with one company where I sold my car during the... Because they're like, now you have to sign a 36-month thing. Then I'm like, okay, cool. But then something happened. I was like, I'm going to sell this car and get a different car. Yeah. They're like, but you still got to pay another 12 months. I'm like, but I don't have the car. They're like, but you must still pay another 12. And then eventually it was a thing of, now the time is up. Can I think, you must give us 2 months notice. I was like, what? Another 2 months? So it's just bled me dry.
Jeez. Speaking of bleeding dry, I don't know if you know the name Anita Brown.
Anita Brown?
Yeah.
Auntie Anita, tell me who's Anita Brown.
No, she's not from the Western Cape.
I mustn't call her
auntie. Oh, that Auntie Anita.
So Anita does sound like an auntie that you buy cook sisters from.
Anita Brown, cook sister, has gotten someone in trouble, actually. So Anita Brown is a woman from the US.
Okay.
And she posted a video on social media a couple of days ago. She's been trending.
Right.
So she says she's pregnant with Nigerian artist Davido's child.
Wow.
So people have been saying she's a clout chaser, a homewrecker. And she's saying, I never knew he was married. He never told me he was married.
Ooh. Yeah, I find that often doesn't come up.
We hardly ever say it if we are.
Honey, it just didn't come up in the conversation.
So she said, I had no idea he was married.
Ooh.
And yes, he recently lost a child. Busy mourning his lost child, but I honestly didn't know he was married.
Wow.
So don't blame me and call me a homewrecker.
Because I was not wrecking a home. I'm busy building a home, guys.
And as fate would have it, there's another woman, Ivana Bay.
Right.
She's in France.
Right.
As all of this is happening across the pond, she's like, I'm also pregnant with Davido's child.
It's immaculate conception, guys. Davido is there he's like, I can't be in two places at the same time. It wasn't me.
And she posts like receipts of this is conversations we've been having, blah, 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 blah. Mm. So I'm also pregnant with this child.
Wow. That's
a tour.
That is, yeah, he's on a world tour. His balls are on tour. What were you doing this summer, Davido? My balls went on tour. I was very productive. What, Jace? That's, that's like some Nick Cannon vibes. That's like, I'm going to create like a soccer,
in
soccer
fact, team. This would be baby mama's number 6 and 7, am I mistaken? Or is it 5 and 6? Allegedly. So you think you're on a tour. You're not on a tour.
That's a lot of, like, it's a lot of effort, guy.
But how, dude? Well, all you need is a minute.
No, but yeah, it's a minute of good times. Then it's just a lifetime of.
Then you're paying for 21 years.
Exactly. I hope his singles do very well.
What's your view on oversharing on social media? And do you ever overshare?
I don't like personal stuff on social media. And someone has said to me that that's actually not a good thing. You should share a little bit more of who you are.
Sure.
So in the light of going, yo, I need to create content.
Yeah.
Then I want to go. And if you go on my Instagram post, then I go, it goes, comedian, here to make you smile, catch me in a city near you.
Yeah.
Then I go, if that's the parameters of my social media, then I do not want to tell you about any of the negative things. I was burgled three weeks ago.
Sure.
So you're the first person I'm telling. I've not put this into media.
Yeah.
I happened to need to find an archived thing, and I took about 7 or 8 hard drives out of my safe.
Mm.
And 2 days later, I was burgled. All my hard drives are gone. Oh. 25 years of everything I've ever done, I don't own anymore.
It's gone. Oh, wow.
Because there was no cloud 25 years ago.
Yes.
That was like, I could put that out there and hopefully someone will see it. And I was like, no, because I don't, what it does to, if I'm on Instagram, then I go, it taints my entire mission in a different way. If I go, literally, my thing is about spreading positivity,
but surely,
and making you laugh and making you smile, then I'll deal with that shit on my own.
But surely it also reminds people that we all go through shit, though. We all get burgled. We're all human.
It does. And maybe I'll create a story about it. Like, I'll create a joke about it. I'll first wait for the insurance.
And there's also an opportunity for the community maybe to rally behind you and look for these hard drives.
No. So from a community perspective,
it's
probably one of the most amazing things within our community.
Yeah.
Because we live in quite a small, close-knit,
sure,
never talk to each other community. Mm. And out of this incident, because we know the guy, like, we caught one of the guys with my wife's credit cards.
Okay.
And then, so we know.
I'm sure you were happy it was out of her hands.
Very, very. She's like, I need new credit cards. I was like, ooh, the bank says 6 month wait, eh? I call Discovery. They say, it's a long wait. The machine that makes credit cards it's being repaired by the license.
And she needs to do a vitality test. And
yes. 100%.
So it's going to take a while.
Yeah, you need your vitality age to drop by 2 years before you get a new credit card. So it's within the community, it's been cool in terms of creating an awareness and creating an alertness and a safety and a blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
But in terms of the oversharing, I'm like, what is your brand in that space? You know, whose special did I love so much? Oh, it was Chris Rock's special, where he talks about the 4 reasons why you would do stuff on social media and, the thing of how you get famous ultimately. And one was about, putting your pain out there.
Yes.
Like, there are a lot of people where that is their currency, to just...
Just pity.
It's, and I know many people where I'm like...
They're pity, yeah.
So I know comics who live in the pity space.
Yeah.
Because they found traction in pity during COVID. Then they're like, but this is where we gotta go. We gotta keep on playing the pity part. And I'm like, my man, pity's not gonna sell you any tickets.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be like, pity me. And then just like scold an audience for not coming.
Because not many of us wanna attend a pity party.
No ways. Yeah. So I'm like, yo, feel that way.
Yeah.
Just be a man. Push that feelings to the bottom of your thing and cry on your floor like real men.
And then when you're done, get off from
the house. Just get up and then...
Get up from the shower floor, switch off the shower.
And then go back to your life.
3 youth in Florida, in the U.S., they robbed someone.
Right.
And they were arrested.
mm-hmm.
because they filmed everything on social media and posted it. So,
kids of the day.
So shout out kids to Tyler Granham, 18, Kaya Burgos, who's 21, and Jaden Saunders, who's 18.
Kids of today, parents, if we can just, like the moment you get your kid a phone, right? Yeah. I think you've got to do that lecture.
Oh, yes.
You've got to do that lecture.
Not everything is... Not everything.
I've got a 15-year-old son and a 13-year-old son. The 15-year-old not online savvy, but not socially savvy.
Yeah.
The younger one going to high school next year. Now the conversation, like we are overt about, yo, bro. The moment you open that camera,
yeah.
Like are you present in the moment? You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like you got to have a conversation about integrity, about it's going to live forever, about honesty, about blah, blah, blah.
And about having your clothes on.
Yes, 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 yes. No, fully, fully. And so, I mean, I shame this, you know, because it is. So all of our friends kind of have kids in that sure. era. Yeah. And so now on the little mom's WhatsApp groups, it starts, you know, surfacing, oh, you know, and those kids over there. Exactly. Oh, those are not the kids to hang out. Exactly. Oh, no, those boys over there and those girls over there.
And avoid the shopping mall.
Oh, yes, 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 exactly, yeah. exactly.
Yeah. So you just landed in Joburg. You've yes. got a show at Monte, right?
Monte Casino this weekend, yeah.
What time, where?
So I'm at Monte Casino, four shows only this weekend. So the 30th, Friday night, at 8 o'clock. Then okay. I've got a double on the Saturday, mm-hmm. like a 4 o'clock show in the afternoon,
yeah.
Which is for grannies. I make a granny show at 4 o'clock.
That is very dope.
It's dope, man, because, you know, and I grannies and grandpas and any... You can
do you have defibrillators along the...
We have. We clear. Yeah. Poof, and yeah. Okay. And we have Zimmer frames and things. We have a potty break halfway through.
And bingo at the back.
And bingo at the back. So it's full grannies. And you can be a granny at the age of 21. A granny is what's in your spirit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those people who just like, oh, 8 o'clock is very late.
The old souls.
The old souls.
Yeah.
And then another 8 o'clock show on the Saturday night. And then on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And that's for the kids. Bring the kids along.
Where do we get tickets?
Tickets available at Web Tickets. If you go onto any of my social media platforms, they're there. But otherwise, tickets at the door at Peter Turin's Monte Casino Theatre. It's going to be so much fun.
The reason I'm asking about you recently in Joburg, I don't know if you've heard of Zama Zamas.
Yeah. So, they're a Joburg thing, but they also, you know where I know of other Zama Zamas? Yeah. In Kimberley.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
The gold mining.
The diamond mines. Yeah.
So Zama Zamas, for those that are uninitiated, are illegal miners who go to old mines.
Yes, and find and sift through the
basically debris, they
you'll find stuff.
They look for minerals that you might have overlooked.
Yes.
And it's big business.
Massive.
We're told it costs mining in South Africa billions of rands.
I can believe that.
And a lot of Zama Zamas are from Lesotho, the kingdom of Lesotho.
Oh, wow.
So in...
the independent kingdom within our kingdom.
Absolutely. So in Welkom, there was a shaft that they were trying to get into.
Right.
It was abandoned in the 80s.
Yes.
And apparently it was abandoned because of gases from that shaft.
Okay.
And there was an explosion because there's gases in there.
Right.
So 31 people are dead and buried in there.
Hey.
So the foreign minister of Lesotho has apologized. And said that, listen, our poor economy is the reason a lot of our people are coming there to illegally mine stuff. I was just blown away.
Accountable minister. A minister taking responsibility.
I was blown away. I was like, I'm looking forward to the day any minister in Zim says we're sorry our people are willing to swim with crocodiles to leave here. And come
and go there
without papers.
Jeez, that is quite something. It is quite something.
I was blown away.
Wow. But it was... So now, within that, right, I'm very happy that you're taking responsibility. My question, and I guess it comes back to our previous conversation, is, but then what are you doing about it, guy? You are the ones in charge. It's all well and good to say, we're sorry we going over there and grabbing your money.
Like with most governments, we're doing our best.
I have a cousin who works for De Beers, and this is how I know about these Zama Zamas.
Yeah.
So literally, my grandparents used to, my mom is from Kimberley, and their house was on Barclay Road, and it backed on these mine dumps.
Oh, yes.
And we used to run, and we used to play on the mine dumps.
There's nothing like playing on a mine dump. It's the best fun ever.
Then my cousin, who's now, he's now in his 40s, I mean, but he was younger than me.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you understand that De Beers had sold those mine dumps maybe 15, 20 years ago to a different mining company to rewash those because of the amount of diamonds in them.
Oh, wow. And you guys just played on it?
We just played on it because De Beers was only interested in, we want the big ones. And then, you know, okay, we'll take up to a half a carat. And everything else smaller, they just left in the dumps.
Oh, wow.
Because there was so much coming out of that big hole that, you know, was going to worry about the little quarter carat. So it was just, and we didn't, no one realized that those mine dumps, and then once they were washing it, you're finding all of the rest of the diamonds.
And you're here worried.
And we were there, and now, sliding up and down mine dumps.
And now you're just worried, like, when's my next gig?
My next gig? Just one of those I could have been settled.
Stuart, where do we find your social media, sir?
So if you go to Instagram, Stuart Taylor Comic, that's a big one. That's a good one. And I post my social media clips. I'm not keeping them close to my chest.
Yeah.
I'm out there, I'm doing my shows, and I'm on a mission to spread laughter. I'm on a mission to spread laughter. So I want people to, like, I want to create a community of people where you go, oh, wow, man, Stu's our guy. Like, he makes me laugh every day. And I get those messages. Do you know how nice it is?
Yeah.
Like, this woman in Australia, she's like, oh, I'm on chemo at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then my therapy while I get chemotherapy is I save your videos and then I watch you once a week. I was like, that's the best thing. So Stuart Taylor Comic on Instagram, Stuart Taylor Comedian on Facebook. And otherwise, catch me live, even better. Mm-hmm. This weekend in Joburg, end of the month, next month, so end of July, I'll be in Durban at the Elizabeth Sneddon Theatre, and then in the world.
Before I let you go, I need to thank you for going nowhere slowly.
Yes.
Because about 18, 19 years ago, thanks to going nowhere slowly, what I used to do with wifey,
we
put a full tank of petrol, and we drive nowhere slowly. At half tank, we find our way back home.
Ah, think of beauty.
So those were our Sundays.
Amazing.
Thanks to you guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Stuart Taylor, going everywhere, not so slowly anymore.
This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Welcome to Wow, What a Week, part of the Africa Podcast Network. Our guest is in the building. She hosted a show featuring lip syncing and was also the subject of a song on many people's lips. However, when it comes to being a bald woman, she definitely doesn't pay lip service to the idea. And if you get on her wrong side, you might get a tongue lashing in isiZulu. Please give a wow welcome to Pearl.
Not a tongue lashing.
Hello, Pearlito.
What a beautiful intro. Oh my gosh, look at all that wordplay. Nice.
I've always given you beautiful intro.
You really have. You've always punished me with a powerful moment. Let me actually take these off. You always really have. I wanted to check if my voice is as delicious as I think it is. And
you,
it really is.
You know, I'm sitting here or watching you with your shades on. And I'm like, she's a movie star. I can't tell her why you're wearing those. So
exactly.
She'll decide when she wants to take them off.
Exactly.
You look good.
I've been good, man.
Yeah.
Getting better every day. I don't even want to say the last 3 years with COVID and everything. But the last like 4 or 5 years have been quite turbulent. And I don't know if it's like a getting into your 30s thing. Mm-hmm. But it's been up and down and kind of just trying to figure out and find myself and who I choose to be, regardless of my external environment, you know?
So what's been the biggest learning about Pearl to you over the last 3-4 years?
That even at my lowest moments, I'm extremely resilient.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an extremely resilient person, not just woman. Like, I'm so impressed with how I have managed to thrive and survive and grow regardless of what was happening. But it's like everything I learned as a young girl in my 20s and even in my teens is really now challenging me and testing me. And I have to enforce those things I so boldly and proudly said back in those days. And now it's like a relearning and a revisiting who I always wanted to be and who I'm destined to become, I guess, yeah.
You say you have learned of your resilience over the last 4 years.
Mm.
And the fact that you realized at your lowest that you're resilient.
Mm.
What was that low?
Gosh, when I realized that I never allowed the pain of failure to affect me and teach me the lessons that it needed to teach me. And when I accepted that there is a pain that I need to acknowledge about certain things that have happened in my life, whether it be, I think the pain of losing my father was one I definitely processed, because there was the time and the space to, because he passed away at the beginning of our lockdown. So everyone was, you know, stuck at home and having to really deal with who they are. But I think because of COVID again, like Queen Sono being cancelled, or there's a recent opportunity that ended up falling through, but there were a lot of positives that also came out of it. And the failure of relationships, the failure of romantic relationships, friendships, a bunch of things that I just, because I'm so always wanting to move forward, that I never dealt with baggage I needed to deal with, so it weighed me down.
So did you feel at any stage like, why me? Like, why am I feeling like I'm on a losing streak?
Wow. No, actually, I never had a why me moment. Why not me? You know, I never had that. I had more of a moment of just, why is this happening? Yeah. It wasn't a thing of why me, like, why is this happening? Or how do I find ways to deal with this? But also, there have been moments where I want to deal with something, or I want to figure something out, but my visa is not expires while we're red zoned in South Africa, or, you know, finances are low, so it's like more difficult for me to travel because of also COVID, or I'm not getting along with family members, or I'm struggling with my daughters, or I'm struggling with friends. It's just like, and to try and find solutions for that when so much is, when there's so many fires to put out, you're putting out one and then those three are almost coming together now and affecting each other. So it's just been a time where I've had to look at my life and realize sometimes, hey man, sometimes you've got to watch the fire burning and just watch everything fall apart and just figure out how to rebuild things. Does that make sense?
This is a nice fire. Where are the marshmallows?
Like actually, you know, fuck it. I can't do it. Like, I'm tired. I don't know what else to do. I'm wasting so much money after money. I'm wasting so much energy trying to put out these fires that I could literally just go somewhere else and start a new fire. Yes. Or I could literally go somewhere else and figure something else. This I can't save right now. And sometimes it's okay to surrender is something also that I've learned.
Is there anything you look back at in hindsight that you walked away from as it burnt that you wish you'd made a bit more of an effort about?
No.
So no regrets.
No, leaving Metro FM, leaving SABC, moving on from whether it be a lip sync battle or behind the story. There are certain opportunities I wish I had been more personally prepared, like with my personal or my self-awareness or wisdom. Or those are the type of regrets I have. But in that moment, I didn't know that, obviously. And now I know that, and I wish I could go back to certain places and give more. If I had been able to give more. But I always find that I give 100% to whatever is there that I have available at that time. So I guess maybe it's just that thing of youth being wasted on the young, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, when you shot, was it Fistful of Vengeance?
Yeah.
Because at that level of shooting,
yeah,
you are pushed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately or fortunately, when you're doing a martial arts movie, you realize how strong or how weak you are.
Yep.
In your preparation.
Yep.
Do you feel you needed a movie or a series like that to remind you who the hell you are?
Yeah, I think especially after what went down with Queen Sono.
Yes.
It really reminded me. And you know what's so crazy? That's maybe not a blockbuster movie, right?
Yes.
But that set, and of course also the Queen Sono set, but that set was one of my favorite sets and one of my favorite environments to shoot in. Just the people that were there, everything was different. We were in Thailand. There were no distractions.
Yeah.
But I did really, really well physically and I think in terms of my performance just generally there. I have no regrets and I'm extremely proud of the people that I worked with. But it definitely reminded me of how strong and powerful I am.
In fact, I mean, you're working with Iko. Iko is one of my he's one of my favorite actors on the planet because I was raised on martial arts movies.
That's so crazy. Some people say that.
So I'm raised Bruce Lee. I'm raised Chuck Norris. I'm raised Paulo Jung. I'm raised Jet Li.
Yeah.
So when you're working with a young dragon such as that,
yeah,
you're working with someone whose work ethic is so up here.
Insane.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I found out you were in the same production as he was, I was like, this is a sink or swim for her. Because you're working with people's work ethic is, you can't touch it. There are many who are making blockbusters in Hollywood that can't touch that work ethic.
No.
Like, they can't touch it.
No.
It's like chalk and cheese.
It's crazy. I have a video. Maybe I should send it to you. It's on my phone. But I have a video of where I record him performing.
Yes.
Right? Like, doing a stunt scene.
Yes.
And I only realized everything he did in the scene when I watched the slow-mo version of it on camera.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't even realize that there were certain even emotional reactions he's doing, or I guess facial reactions that he's doing while he's doing his performance. Things I never even was able to grasp on while I was watching him live,
yes,
like as the person. And then when I looked on camera at the playback, I was like,
yeah,
when the hell did you do that? Yeah. Ego, you know I love you. Ego is insane. Also one of the kindest actors you can work with.
Yeah.
If you go to him and say, I'm struggling to figure this particular thing out, mm-hmm, or I'm worried about this, always ready and there to help. But he gets a head start in figuring out his stunt work. And he's got his own stunt team, like his personal people that he works with since Raid.
Yes.
And they're also very incredible people. I wish my phone was here. I would actually call him right now.
We need a Raid 3. Please, we need another Raid movie.
Another Raid.
Yes.
I wonder why they're not making another Raid, because he's still as powerful and fast and quick as ever.
Maybe that's not recovering from the previous Raid, because that was an incredible movie.
Really?
Dude, I was just watching. I was like, just watching the choreography, the stunt work, the martial arts.
Yeah.
Like, so,
if he ever comes to South Africa, can I arrange for you guys to meet?
In fact, as COVID was happening, I'd actually planned to go to Asia.
Yeah.
In the hope that I'll one day meet him. And I DM'd him, and he was like, let me know when you're in town. Just like that.
Oh, that's great. So you can just DM him, so you don't even need me, Moz.
No, I still need the number.
Yeah, but shout out to Ego. Lewis Tan. Lewis Tan played my love interest in the movie.
Yes,
he ended up being the lead for Mortal Kombat, playing Kai. He was brilliant as well.
Lewis Tan, another talent and a half. I mean, like, it's.
Yeah, Lewis Tan is brilliant.
When you're working on a set like that, at that level, does it not sometimes make you sad that we have a way to go?
You know, we don't actually have that much of a way to go.
Oh, so we don't?
In terms of the talent and the skills.
Oh, the talent is there.
Of the people.
Yeah.
I think we only have a way to go in terms of investment and production companies no longer scamming people.
Give us money to make things
happen. Give us money to make things happen, but also don't keep all the money for yourself.
Yes.
But I think that, like I've said this repeatedly, and it's one of the reasons I think people probably don't even want to work with me in South Africa anymore, is repeatedly I keep saying, until production companies come together, and broadcasters come together and take this industry seriously, not only will they get to pocket a lot of money, we will, but they'll pocket even more money, because if you invest more in this, you'll make more out of it, and we'll make a bigger and better industry. I think, I don't know what the budgets and things look like for this latest Shaka series that Bomb Productions has put out, but it looks absolutely incredible. However, I've just seen trailers and things like that. I'm going to have to wait till all the episodes are out. I'm not this weekly type of girl.
Same, yeah.
I'm not going to make it.
I've got two episodes already that are
set. That are banked.
I'm waiting for it to finish, then I'll sit and watch.
I wonder how many episodes are there? Do you know?
They haven't said, so, you know.
Oh, they actually haven't said. I actually haven't seen.
We'll just watch.
We'll just find out.
Watch until it's done.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So you had like wild, intimate scenes with Lewis Tan. Let's talk about what you're willing or unwilling to do on camera.
I'm unwilling to have actual sex.
Well, that's not a Netflix special. That's the Bang Bros, but story for another day.
You know what? That was Lewis's very first sex scene, basically.
Ever,
I think. So I think it ended up, apart from, you know, me ending up in a situation where I'm saying me too or whatever, I had to kind of really have a conversation with him prior to that and make him feel comfortable and say, you're allowed to do anything the director says.
I was going to say, what conversation do you have leading to a scene like that?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of, especially actresses in our industry, that have complained about how, for the longest time, sets never even had an intimacy coach. So you're almost on your own. You're almost hoping that the guy...
You're not supposed to be. The director is supposed to actually say, put your hand on her breast.
Yes, yes.
Pearl, Can we get, like, we need some moaning. It's that simple, like some moaning. Or I want you guys to, I've been blessed, hey? Like, I've had good directors when specifically it comes to that. But even in, there's another movie I have, a short film coming out that I did in Nigeria with Mo Abudu. Yes. And even there, I spoke to the guy, and it's just Joseph, and I said, you know, just feel comfortable in doing something. If I'm uncomfortable, I'll let you know. There's nothing right now that I'm expecting to be uncomfortable with. Mm. People have had to be, you know, around here with their faces, around there with their faces.
Yeah.
I think the main thing for me that would really upset me in a situation like that is if someone was unhygienic.
Oh, yes.
That
yes.
would affect me.
Yes, yes.
And I've been in that type of moment as well. But the directors, you're supposed to actually make it so clinical so that the actors don't have to feel like someone actually needs to really feel aroused or the actress can say, hey, I don't want him to actually touch my breast. I'm uncomfortable with that. That's a conversation each actor is supposed to have with the director, not necessarily with each other.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So there must never be a moment where you feel like, no, man, we're not acting there.
Yeah. Also, you look at where the camera is. If the camera's at the back, then I know to play with my arms, like scratches back, or I now know that it's my moment to perform and react to whatever he might be doing. But at that point, if the director says, Pearl, moan, he doesn't even really need to be doing anything behind me, or it depends also in the position that we're in.
It's a camera shot. In essence, that's what it is. So
can I tell you, the main thing is just people getting over the fact that they're naked in that moment.
Yes.
Like, however naked as the scene demands. Mm-hmm. But that's the main thing you need to get past, in my opinion.
A lot of co-stars in different industries.
Did you like my scenes?
The whole...
Did you watch my scenes?
I didn't rewind them, but I watched them. Yes.
And did they look convincing? Okay, how do they look? What did you think?
Dude, you can't be in a movie with some of the best martial arts we've seen in the last 10 years and think any else of it would be taking along.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
The entire damn production was a production.
But Queen Sono also, that happened. Yeah. And there's another movie also that recently happened. Then there was another one where it was maybe not as much.
Yeah.
But it was, I've become quite comfortable with it. It's, I mean, I can't say to you, I remember how any of those people actually kissed. Mm-hmm. I can't say because it was in a work environment.
It was work.
Definitely just work.
Brings me to my next question then. In a lot of, post the production, you hear of co-stars dating.
Mm-hmm.
Does the connection happen on set or offset, do you think?
I've had situations where someone expresses, like, or expressed long before that they had, like, a crush on me. And maybe that would make me feel like, oh, this person's going to enjoy this because now it's like... They get to do things with me, like, that maybe they hope to do, but, like, not really.
They get a free pass. They don't have to put in the work.
So maybe that. I'm like, eh. But I think mostly the connection probably happens on set.
Okay, before you talk about that, though. So, for instance, when someone that you're going to be in intimate scenes with has expressed that they like you. Is that even appropriate, though?
I've never had it in a situation where they express it during or prior.
Oh, so you didn't know you were going to be working with each other?
Maybe at the time.
Okay.
And there was one instance where someone looked quite excited that, you know what I mean?
Again, like I'm saying.
I don't know. I can't take that away. I'm quite a cute girl. You know, I can't take that away from them. Like, it is what it is. You know, what am I going to do? You know, like, make myself unattractive? Oh, no.
Walk with a limp?
No.
One eye? You know?
No, I worked very hard to make sure I look good so that people hopefully do find me attractive, or at least I look in the mirror and think, damn.
Sure.
But there've been moments where I'm like a little bit eye-rolled by a situation, but other than that, we move past it.
Okay, so basically you're saying then that these work romances that happen on sets often is because of what happens after, not necessarily on camera.
I think it's, I don't think it's, maybe there could be a spark during a scene while they're shooting where something can be evoked, maybe, but it's definitely on set, because what happens on set is you could spend between 6 weeks to 6 months with someone nearly, you know, five days a week. Yeah, nearly every day. And you are, you end up becoming friends and sharing intimate things and getting to know each other. You end up spending time with other actors more than you spend with your family and friends and your partner. probably even put together.
So a workplace romance is almost inevitable sometimes.
I think I see why it happens. I've never been in that situation. I've never really opened the door. And a lot of the times I've sometimes been in a relationship when I was on set. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
You spoke about how you never took time to mourn stuff over the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that has been a heavy year. Mm. It's been, there's a fire. Do I walk away? Do I put it out? Is it even worth my energy? You also speak.
Oh, you wake up and it's just ash. Sorry.
It's like, I didn't even know it was
burning. Like, what? Like, you know, like, can I tell you when the earthquake happened?
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Which one? There were two.
That first
one this week or the one weeks ago? There was one last night, apparently.
No, stop it.
I'm told there was one last night.
Where?
In the south of Joburg. I'm told there was one just after
in the south of Joburg.
Somewhere, but I'm told this way there was, yeah.
No, I haven't, I hardly check Twitter anymore. So yeah. I was in the club when that earthquake happened. And I kept wondering, why do the glasses keep falling? Oh my God. And I was just so annoyed. And then like an hour later, so I noticed the glasses were not falling anymore. Like near the speaker, I was by the DJ booth. Yeah, yeah. Then I get home and I'm checking things and I found out, oh my God, there wasn't an earthquake and we were in the club.
So
like a nigga was must probably playing then, I guess. But I wonder what, and I saw like videos and things like that. My daughter never even woke up. She was so upset.
I slept right through it.
I also would have slept right through it had I been
home. I woke up and I was asked, did you feel the earth move? I was like, I thought I made your earth move.
But you're a big guy. You move in the earth. Exactly.
So speaking of mourning relationships. Friendships. So which friendship do you feel you haven't mourned or you didn't mourn? Because there were also rumors of you and Zintla not getting along anymore. Boom. You're not friends anymore. What happened there?
Well, you know, the thing is, Zintla and I have always been friends. Mm-hmm. I consider Zintla to be a sister,
sure.
To be honest. And I have three sisters, and there are many times when I've had a sister where we don't speak for a year and a half or a long time like that, just to kind of give each other peace because we can't seem to find some sort of equilibrium. Mm-hmm. With Zintla, we did have a moment, but it wasn't a moment of like, we're not friends anymore, we hate each other, disgusting, I'll never speak to you again, we've broken up type thing. You know, we're adults, we're growing, we're evolving. So sometimes we are going to have moments where we are maybe not agreeing on things. However, I must say that Zintle and I, as lives have evolved since then. There was a point where you obviously saw us together all the time because we were living together, literally living together. And then she moved out. Now she's married. Now she has another child. She's been through so much. She's building an empire, a beautiful empire. Here I am, you know what I mean, making sure that empire is growing in whatever little way I can as well. So I think this like microscopic energy towards us,
the management of your relationship,
like basically. And the fact that now it's almost like I've got other friends to spend time with, I also have two children, I'm also trying to build my own empire, I'm hardly sometimes even in this country. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say we're growing apart, but I'm saying sometimes we take moments to focus on our own personal journeys. Mm-hmm. And we've decided we're not really going to feed into this,
sure,
or pour more energy into it in terms of trying to appease people. Mm-hmm. When we spend time together, there's so many times where Zintla and I have spent time together and we just didn't post it. So many times. Not everything is a moment to capture, you know?
You know, the way we're obsessed with if people don't post it, it didn't happen. People probably think most people don't take a poo. Because you don't post it. You know what I mean?
Like, do we sleep? Because, I mean, I didn't have my camera on while I was sleeping. What does that really mean? You know, so, yeah, Zintla and I are in a very, very good place. She's an incredible woman. She's an incredible friend. I'm an incredible friend. I'm an incredible woman. Our friendship circle grew. There was two of us, and then there was Nomuzi, and then there's Tabzi, there's Yolanda, there's Brandon, there's Dalbert. So now there's also relationships where people are working together. Mm-hmm. She's shooting the reality show. You not seeing me in the reality show doesn't mean I'm not in her reality.
Yes.
This is the reality she's choosing to show you. Yes. And this is the reality that, you know, serves the purpose of the show. Mm-hmm. And also, reality show budgets are set up in particular ways. Like, I'm not necessarily doing people's reality shows out there for free and just appearing or just being a character. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Zintla and I are our own people. I would have my own reality show, and possibly you might hardly see her in it, because my daily life, my daily reality could include a phone call with her, but it doesn't include physically seeing her every day. Also, 4 ways is far. Like, she's around that those parts. I'm in that part of the world maybe 3 times a year. So, but Zinhle is a sister to me, and I will always love her. And she's someone I know I can always call on when I need love and support.
You also mentioned not mourning past relationships.
Yeah.
How do you mourn a relationship, though? Like, how do you...
accept that it hurt you.
What did you think you failed to do that you realized that I haven't healed from this?
Not making better decisions about how you could have done better in a relationship. Accepting that someone did you wrong as well in certain ways, but accepting that they're human and forgiving and not holding on to, you know... how those memories trigger you. So if you forgive and you actually let it go, then you can grow and make better decisions in the next relationship. So I feel like maybe, for example, see people's names, because also I've dated people who are also have their own lives happening and their lives have continued happening. And I don't want to bring back attention to that. But I've had a lot of long distance relationships. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of relationships where someone was literally in my house every day and similar problems would occur or there'd be a problem anyway. So I've kind of realized that relationships have different issues. But more than anything, I need to focus on myself and my children right now, because the distraction of a relationship oftentimes from my work or my children, especially when the breakup happens, is more monumental than what the relationship itself in the good times did, because of how I may feel, because I give so much. And I need to honor what I gave, and I need to appreciate that I did give a lot to that, and not pretend like I don't care, or not pretend like it didn't matter to me, or not pretend that I'm unaffected and I'm just going to move on. No, I'm affected. I'm hurt. I'm heartbroken. I don't know what this thing is about women, or even men, maybe men even more especially, not wanting to feel or accept the fact that something has punished them, that something has put you down and you are literally in pain. Just because you maybe dislike someone or hate someone now, because in that moment specifically, just because you have broken up, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't really... It doesn't mean you're giving them power if you're acknowledging that you're hurt. This is... And if they take it that way, that's fine.
Sure.
But you're taking back your power by letting go of the power that relationship, I guess, had on in your life.
When you choose to forgive after the fact, do you communicate that to them, or is it just an internal?
I guess it depends on the reality between the two people in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, I've had moments where I've called people like 2 years later to be like, "Oh my God, I've just experienced what I put you through." In that moment, or something I might have said, or something I might have done, and sometimes I've been in tears, and I've called that person to say, "I'm so sorry, I made you feel like this. I didn't understand." Also, you know, I couldn't understand, because in that moment, this is what I was dealing with, and when you came with this, I just exploded because I couldn't deal with everything at the same time. So I've gone back. I speak to most of my exes actually, and it was a problem in one of my recent relationships, and I just thought, I don't know if you're still gonna be around like next year. Like, you might decide to go, and that's what I've learned at this age. I've learned that people come and go, and hopefully you'll stay. But if you're not here, you're not going to change the anatomy of my life because you have decided to be in my heart. It doesn't mean this person who is a portion of my arm or my foot or my hair or whatever I've decided, that person has a piece of me and might always have a piece of me, because that person owned up to maybe how they treated me, or I share a specific moment or a specific thing where I made specific decisions in my life at a certain time with this person. And I will always, this person is the one person who understands that when this thing happens to me, this is what it means. And they're a friend now. And if we wanted to be together, we'd be together, but we are not. So
what do you say to, or how do you reassure the guy you date when they say, "It makes me feel uncomfortable," or "It makes me feel insecure that you are still friends with the ex"?
I talk about the relationship with the ex. I whatever questions they might have. I think the worst thing you can do in a relationship is to not acknowledge someone's feelings. I think acknowledging someone's feelings doesn't mean you have to change the reality of your decision or what your decision is going to be. But I think acknowledging something and doing your best to make that person feel comfortable, because the worst thing that can happen is to cut someone off, then you break up with me, now what am I going to do? I'm going to go back to that person and say, oh, can we be friends again? Like, that's also very childish. It's very high school. But you can just find ways to manage the situation. Also, a friendship with an ex is not, I'm talking to you every day, at least not in my world. It's a thing where the energy is clear, the air is clear, we get along really well, and maybe we still communicate. No.
Just we don't hate each other.
I don't want to lie. Sometimes there's moments where, like, I'll see a meme that reminds me of, like, a specific ex. Sometimes I can't help myself, and like, I'll send it. Again, depending on what their relationship is like. If you look at Robert, for example, like, last year when he released his book, I was there at the launch. You know, obviously he had to call me and basically let me know of, you know, what it was going to look like and am I going to be in the book. And there ended up being a small chapter there about me. And I thought it was really kind, the things he said about me. I really appreciated, you know, how he handled that. And we're still good. Like, we're still good.
He didn't have to handle it like that in the book.
No, he didn't.
So how did you feel that he handled it like that?
I've never really expected any less from him, though.
Yeah.
You know, Robert is someone who I believe is, he likes to make something look good. And he likes to be honest. But
Brutally honest.
Right. Mainly with the sports people, though. Like, his personal life is a different story altogether. So, I mean, him writing that book was impressive. But he's someone who's always going to put into consideration the fact that I have children.
Yes.
He has a child. We both want to have future partners. Because the thing is also, I'm not someone you want to trigger and rattle. Yes, I'm doing my self work and self development and trying to be a better person, but I'm still working on it. So there's a loose end where it could just that could just untie and everything will come falling down. I mean, I'm not saying that's the type of that I'd have things like that to say about him, but you know, Robert has a certain way of doing things, and it's something I always have appreciated about him.
Now, when you in a relationship, how do you decide it's time for the kids to meet him or not? Or
I've done it every different way, and
hence I'm asking, because I know you've done it differently with different people you've dated. So how do you earn the privilege to meet the kids? And how do you decide?
Some people have been in my life long before the relationship started.
Okay.
So their children are already aware that they exist, or they come around, or we're friends, or whatever.
Yeah.
I think when a certain level of commitment is made, you know, which is no guarantee, and that's something I've also taught my children to say, you know, I have to live my life. You are going to get out of here one day and leave me all by myself. I have to work on something. But I use as much of my successes. I mean, there's also successes in relationship. Just because the relationship is not happening anymore, there are wins within a relationship, especially if you can continue having a relationship long after the romantic part of it is put to bed. But I try and have discourse with my children about how a relationship ended, how it's making me feel, how it's affecting me, and why things are working out the way they are. And I think for me, what's powerful about it is I can only hope, especially with Tanuka, she's older at the moment, I can only hope that they apply some of the lessons I share with them of what I've learned, obviously what I can share, what I've learned in relationships not working out, and how to recover from it. I think I've never had to witness a mother or an older matriarchal type of female figure experience romantic heartbreak repeatedly, you know, in a relationship, or make mistakes in a relationship, because I don't know about your family, but my mother stayed in a relationship until she was six feet under. So I never really got to learn how to deal with things like that. So I can only hope that that's what she gets out of it.
You wrote your mom a letter the other day.
What?
Didn't you write your mom
the other day? Yeah. Oh, I write little notes to my mom every now and again.
Why do you do that? And how do you decide what to share with us, that this is what I wrote to my mom, or this is what I'm thinking about my mom, or this is what I miss about my mom?
Because it's cathartic. I have a lot of memory blocks because I have a lot of, like a lot of other people out there, like I have a lot of childhood trauma. So whatever I can remember of my mom, I want to honor, and I want to put it in a place where I can also find it and remember that I felt this way on this particular day, or this is what was on my mind about her this particular day. I don't have proof, but I can only hope that she sees that. I mean, there's nothing really that hurts me more that my mother can't be here to see the woman I've become.
Yes, you know.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and she was telling me about how she was spending a lot of time with her mother. Her mother had moved in with her recently. And she was like, you know, because her reality is that, oh, it's a lot, but she loves her mom, and it's great actually to have her around, you know. But with everything, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So I said to her, I would actually stab you. I love you so much, but I would stab you right now to have my mother live with me, you know. And obviously, I'm joking. I don't go around stabbing people. But, oh, God.
You just put your foot on that.
Like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I'll do that. But, you know, and I was talking to her about just know that in 30 years, in 20 years, maybe even in 5 years, you'll think back to this moment and this time you had with your mother, and you'll think about how you would have wanted to spend this time with her. And I would just like to implore you, as a friend who would kill to be in your position, to think about people like me, but also to think mostly about yourself. Were you to, one, lose your mother? Were she to move out? Or were you to live overseas? You know, whatever might happen. So I love my mother still. I still tear up when I talk about her. So I'm going to, I spent a lot of time doing this makeup, so I'm not going to try and ruin that. But I still think about her a lot. I try and feel her presence. I try and be present in moments where, like, I felt my dad this morning. I was watching this video of me and Rhonda with the gorillas, and I'm gonna sound like those people, but my leg tingled, like, in a very unfamiliar way that made me notice it. And I was like, okay, what was that, you know? But with my mom, because I've lived without her longer than I lived with her now on this planet. And I just wish I knew what she'd look like now and what she'd be like and what she'd think of certain things. I wish she was there to hold me when someone breaks my heart, or I wish she was there to, I wish a lot of the time I have no one to be accountable to.
Oh yes.
Except myself, maybe my kids, but I have no one to be scared of anymore, to be, you know, like that feeling that, like, oh, I need to get straight A's because my parents, whatever. Or I need to get straight A's because I love my work, yeah.
That days where I ask the team, I hope I'm not slouching because I know my mom is going to watch this. So I know what you're talking about.
Right.
That sometimes knowing that mom might hear this or might read this determines how much of it happens.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. Even me talking about my parents' status last year with Altito, first of all, it's because they're not here anymore, so I'm not breaking the law and talking about someone's status without their permission or their knowledge. I thought it was a teaching moment because I feel like there's so much that could have been done to prevent so much misunderstanding and pain when my parents were still around. So I feel it's important that we normalize.
For those that don't know what you're talking about, what status are you referring to?
Oh, my parents' HIV status.
Okay.
Yeah. They were positive.
Yeah.
And obviously they were on medication. And I mean, I've heard things and I've read things, but it's so hard lately with all the information that's floating around to know exactly what is true sometimes. But, you know, it affected my mother's, like, body positivity a lot. I'm quite sure just with the stress of being, just with the stress of being sick, like, it will affect you psychologically quite immensely. So with their issues between each other and then the stress we naturally cause as children or caused as children affected us because we didn't understand why these people are so mad and upset and what's with this medication and why exactly do you have to eat at 12? Why are you saying, oh, I hate you because I didn't make sure the food was ready at 1 o'clock, like I was doing homework, because exactly at 1 o'clock, I need to take my medication. What is this medication? None of your business. You know, and children can be so much more supportive. So I try and be more open with my daughter so she can offer me support when she can, or be more understanding at the very least of why I'm behaving in certain ways when I'm unwell.
Do you feel they could have shared more with you guys so that you can better be there for them at the time?
Yes. Yes, definitely. But it was also the stigmas attached back then to that. And my mother was a nurse. Their medication, because my mother had medical aid at the time, like their medication was even being delivered. So my mother passed away. My father ended up having to go to those queues to go fetch his medication. But I didn't know because, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
So when I could have helped, I couldn't. And even when I knew, I actually found out before he told me. When I realized that he was positive, I had to pretend like I didn't know for years. Until there was a moment where he had no choice but to tell
me. To tell you.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And your mom passed away at the height of stigma.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what she was going through, also having to raise a girl child, and, you know, what do I tell her? What don't I tell her?
Mm.
And what can she tolerate, or what can she understand and still manage, you know, without burdening her? So I can imagine what she was going through at the time. Now, looking back, though, at Mama and your memories of her, what are you passing on to the girls that you're like, this for Mama, I'm passing on?
Some things I cook.
Yeah. Are you a good cook?
You know, I'm gonna turn this question on its head, or rather with an answer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I'm trying to not pass on from Mama in honor of her.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm trying to have more control of my temper. I'm trying to have more control over the things that I say when I am upset to my children. And I feel like, especially in the height of my mom's stress and drama in her marriage, there are things that she might have done that I catch myself doing or almost doing. There's a lot of...
We become them.
Right, exactly. So as soon as I note that this was the thing I didn't like about my mother, actually, even though it's so many years ago, or even about my father, like when I'm having a financial situation, like my father was unbearable when he had money issues till the very end. And I've realized that actually I've now copied this behavior. I need to manage this behavior. So it's just about self-awareness and finding things. So I'm trying to be an improved version of my mother in honor of her, to show her that, you know, she didn't die in vain and she didn't suffer so much in vain. I mean, I'm taking to my daughter to a school that's literally breaking my back in terms of the financial strain it's causing. And my mother did the same thing.
Yes.
And I'm doing that in honor of her because she wanted the best education she could possibly afford for me. I don't know why the hell I'm taking this kid to this school, but I mean, I know exactly why. Because I wanted to network from a young age and have access to certain type of people.
Yes.
So that by the time she wants to build whatever life she wants to build, she hopefully has access to the right people and have made the right decisions. Mm. But my mother would be stressed for me, but she'd be extremely proud of the fact that, I guess it honors the fact that I saw that it was hard for her to argue with my dad and take me to the school I particularly was, to Pinetown Girls High School, and the fights they had because of me wanting to go to the school. I'm a single mother, so I'm grappling with myself around this decision. But it is what it is, and I can see the positive and beautiful impact it has in my daughter's life. So,
what do you speak to your girls about when it comes to social media? Are you having social media conversations with them?
I think Oguhle's social media life is more on a consumer, in a consumering, like consumerism situation right now. So she consumes it mostly. Tando is now, I'm teaching her how to be a creator, actually. So I even sent her to spend some time with Nadia Jafta, who won Creator of the Year. Was it last year or this year?
Yes.
And she's learning how to create from. She's realized how much money she could possibly make from it.
Yeah.
But I'm also, the most important thing I'm trying to leave, because the conversation I'm having about this with right now is Tando. What I'm trying to leave her with is, be your own person. One, yes, there's me as your mother, and that will sometimes be attached to you. But for example, on TikTok, she is her own person. I'll be in the mall, or I'll be paying for something. Oh, I haven't seen your daughter on TikTok for a while. I'm really missing her story times. What's happening? And I'll just be like, one of the time, right? Exactly. I was like, story time. What the hell is story time? When I went to her page, I was like, my goodness.
Yeah.
And so it's just allowing them to flow freely into it. But it's the lessons you teach your child long before they are able to put a password next to a social media handle. that really define the people they will be there. But obviously, it's always a work in progress. So I'm teaching her to try and find her niche of content that will not just define her, but something that is specifically hers, mm-hmm. something that's impactful,
sure.
not just the TikTok dances, which are cool, not just the things for the likes, but things that will be naturally associated to you that will either bring you income, but also give impact to young and old and people mm-hmm. out there in general. So it's about discovering who you are going to be in this space and making sure you stand for something so you don't fall for everything.
Now, being the outspoken woman that you are, you also attract a lot of shitstorms on social media. Do you speak to them about that, or do you just hope they don't?
Well, at Tando at school now will approach me and say, oh my God, sometimes she won't even know.
Yeah. Right? Until she gets to school.
She gets to school, she's like, Mom, apparently this is happening. The one thing that affects her a lot is people like commenting on like boys at school saying, oh, your mom is so hot.
Yes.
That's
yes,
the one
yes.
thing that she's like, seems to be the actual main issue for her, really.
Okay.
She knows.
Also, the boys were happy a couple of weeks ago there.
I don't know. So we actually did have a conversation about that. Quite interestingly, I left her with another friend of mine in Cape Town,
yeah.
Who this last weekend, who gave me my first job when I got to Joburg. So it's a couple there and they have kids about her age.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, though, like for lack of a better like term, they're very woke and they're very pro-LGBTQ. So,
mm-hmm.
And I asked one of them, and she's 17, and Tando was there. I said, so they follow me on Instagram, and I don't know why I always forget that these kids follow me on Instagram, that I know. And I asked them, so what did you think of, you know, my tits in the streets? Yeah. And then she was like, I thought it was such a powerful political statement. And I thought, look at this little white girl. Yeah. And she said, I thought it was powerful. And I said, oh, really? And Tando was there and she perked up her eyes. But Tando's never really had a problem with who I am and my behavior out there because she knows who I really am. But I think when she had a platform where there were other people her age to have this conversation, so I also thought it was a really powerful political statement. It's just I'm irritated by the boys at school.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, they were talking about how, I mean, they're obviously in their teens, talking about how come boys get to show their nipples? It's not fair. And why can't a woman choose what she wants to do with her body? So it was really interesting that older people had an adverse type of reaction to that. And young kids are like, yeah, they're unbothered. And actually, this is dope because women are taking their power.
In fact, so what are your views on what I'm going to call breastgate?
Not breastgate, like. Right, actually, Briskates had lost at the damn earthquake on Twitter, apparently.
Absolutely.
So, do you want to know actually what happened?
Please tell us.
There's actually a story around.
Please tell us what
happened. This is the first time I'm telling the story on a platform as well. So, I was getting ready for Tubbsy's event, which was her hosting Janelle Monáe's album launch here in South Africa. And I'm obsessed with her latest project, by the way, because it was so bold, it was so brave, and her music is also so good, and she's so extremely talented. But anyway, I'm getting ready. I knew what I wanted to wear. It was going to be like a bikini thing. And her tits were out, like out, and was a very kind of suggestive, you know, rollout situation. So I was going to wear like a netty type of dress on top of it from Good American. But then the dress went missing, couldn't find it. I was losing my mind. And I was over an hour late now because I cannot find this dress. And finally, I'm like, I actually just need to figure out a different outfit because I have to go. So I wore this top. I wore a bra first, and then I put this like pleather skirt and like pleather jacket, and I was looking cool. But the bra just now the thing now
it's nice all.
yes.
No. I can see how the bra might actually make the outfit not look nice.
Did you see both outfits?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you only saw the second one. Oh no, yes. There was a first one.
Okay.
And the first one we had the skirt and had the jacket and the Richard Mnisi top. Another irony. These stories both involve Richard Mnisi, but in a different way. So I take off the bra and the outfit looks much better without it, to be honest. And I don't know if there's anything problematic about my breasts, and anyone's breasts should be allowed to do whatever they want. But I get to the event, everyone is wowed by it, everyone because of me. I get the pictures, I think, oh my God, I need to control this narrative before if anyone else posts these pictures, I'm now not in control of this narrative. So I post it. The reaction to it, Natasha Tahane even phoned me from France to be like, oh girl, are you ready to trend? Because it's about to go down. I was like, oh my God, girl, what do you mean? I didn't think it was actually going to be as big a deal as it ended up.
Yes.
Then when I saw what was happening online, I didn't want to reach back to the old Pearl and react on social media. I decided to find a way to respond. And I had an event that weekend.
Yeah.
Rich Mnisi.
You're like, now we'll
party. I've been through too much. So I decided, okay, I'm going to find a way to respond. I phoned Rich. Rich, can I show my tits at your party? He's like, cool. He was like, I'm the wrong person to ask this question. Of course I want you to show your tits at my party. Like, why would I say that?
I show my bum on social media.
And the thing is, the theme was, it wasn't off theme. It was one of one.
Yes.
Like, you know, I'm rocking up in my little birthday suit, but just, you know, with a little romper on, I guess.
Yeah.
And we worked out the outfits. It was an Ash Lux combo that I wore actually at Coachella, but I forgot to post it. And now I just wasn't going to put in the nipple covers. But that was a response. To say to people, what's not going to happen is you thinking you can dictate to me how I live my life.
You don't want
to
bully me. Because that's what it becomes ultimately. We want to police you. We want to tell you exactly what you should wear, who you should date, how long you should mourn for, why are you eating that.
Where you should work, where you shouldn't work.
Exactly.
Right.
Why are you doing a scene like that?
Mm.
What kind of African woman are you? That's what the world has become.
Yeah. And technically, I'm not married and I may have had a child, but I may be wrong, and there's different customs even within the Zulu culture, but I saw that conversation happening. I thought that was quite interesting when I finally went there to check. And I saw other quite like hurtful things that people said. And I've been listening to Joe Dispenza. Do you know him?
Tell me about him.
He's been teaching me to forgive and understand that people, if you see something in me that completely defies what you stand for, it says more about you being upset about that thing.
Exactly.
And I forgive that. If you see something in me also that you dislike so much, it is I'm mirroring you. And I'm showing you and I'm reminding you of something that exists within you that you completely despise. And so therefore you'll project that anger towards me instead of internalize why you have an issue with me or what I'm doing. But yes, sorry.
No, you were still saying.
No, but I've been listening to that.
No, so you saw some hurtful stuff
Yes. And
so is it hurtful because that was the intention of the person posting it, or is it hurtful because it did hurt?
I don't think people think, I'm starting to, how do I say this? Because I know what I want to say, but I'm trying to think, is this a more intelligent way of saying this? I'm starting to accept that I'm a celebrity.
Oh, yes.
I always accepted that I was famous.
Yes.
But I'm starting to accept that I'm a celebrity and I need to act accordingly.
Or not.
But in some instances, I've realized that people don't think I'm going to see what they've written. People are looking for my attention because what a beautiful thing it must be to have my attention, I'm assuming. And people will say things because they just also want to be heard about their opinions about me, And I'm starting to understand that I have so much more power holding back and so much more power doing what I choose to do regardless. But it hurt me because some of the things I read, I started interrogating if subconsciously, is this why I'm actually doing what I'm doing? Subconsciously, it planted those seeds.
A friend of mine,
I almost allowed them to grow.
In fact, a friend of mine calls me and says, I saw Pearl's post. Is she okay? Because he knows I've got your number. So I was like, no, she's fine. I think she knows exactly what she's doing.
Am I okay?
So no, because she was like, maybe she's going through stuff. I was like, no, she's fine.
Someone said, I'm going through a midlife crisis. I was like, wow, maybe women do go through an early midlife crisis. But can I tell you what the crisis was? How hot I looked.
Absolutely.
I looked so incredible. I couldn't believe that I looked this good. And I thought, oh my God, I might turn 60 and I might regret not celebrating my body the way I am currently.
Yes. Yeah. And not celebrating, being your age and, having knockers that...
My booty's cute. My tummy's
exactly.
cute. And my legs are powerful. Damn.
And why should you not celebrate that?
Why shouldn't I?
And if you don't want, if you're not subscribing to that kind of content, find
you
something else.
You don't have to see it, actually.
Find something else.
Yeah.
I'm told our time is up.
No, the time can't be up.
Can you imagine?
Who's the hater? Who's the point the hater out to me?
Yeah.
Ah, Sisi, Kotala, you gave me the wrong address. Please, go back to the booth there. You gave me the wrong address, Wena. You took added another 5-10 minutes onto my travels thing.
Learnings from Breastgate, if at all. Or have you moved on and moved past it?
You know, because it was also an accidental thing, really. I it's not something I premeditated, I guess, until the second one.
Will there be the third?
For me, it's not like a moment. It's just my breasts. Like, I didn't know my nipples had so much power because people have seen my breasts. They've seen them in movies. People have, you know, like, I've literally fed it. You know, I had this Eureka thing. I just thought my breasts, like, they literally kept a human alive for over 6 months on their own.
Imagine.
How amazing. Why would you not want to see this?
This life-giving
mechanism. Yeah, within me. Why would you not want to celebrate this, Pearl? You know, and I'm learning to celebrate myself and celebrate my body and celebrate my decisions no matter how anyone else feels about them. Mm-hmm. The right people loved my decision. Sure. And that's actually what meant so much. People calling me and being like, wow, that was so beautiful. You look so good. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, where are you working out? And I tell them about this place where I go, where they help me keep my tummy in check, whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of people took what they wanted to take out of it. And I think you'll take from my situation or that moment or Breastgate, you'll take out of it what you want. And if you want to take negative things out of it, that's your problem. But sure, the people who took positive things from it, especially me, really did. And if, honestly, you're expecting me to raise your children on Instagram, you have a bigger problem.
Yeah.
And as a country, even, if you expect me to raise your children on Instagram, you have a much bigger problem in terms of how you are raising your child on your own. Then I mean, I know my daughter listens to Ice Spice.
Yeah.
Do I think that she thinks a nigga's a munch?
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have deeper conversations. She doesn't have the Ice Spice's number or Cardi B's number to say, oh, little bitch, you can fuck. Like, she knows the words. She won't sing them in front of me. Mm. I can't help that she knows the words, but I can be there to process those things.
And we can't be in denial about the fact that our kids have access to all of this. Even if you bark their phones and you block this, they have access to it. So let's not pretend and have our heads in the sand about exactly what our kids have access to.
You're worried about me. Your child is watching porn.
So rather, have conversations with your kids so that when they access this information, they can make informed decisions.
Right, exactly.
Instead of, let's just switch off the whole internet.
Yeah.
You switch off the internet, it's going to go back to Scope magazine. Mm. When we were kids, I mean, I was in grade 5 when some kid in my class brought porn. We're in grade 5. So we had access to porn from grade 5.
And there wasn't even internet.
There was no internet, but there was a magazine. Yes, it had stars on it. And yes, we tried to scratch the stars off.
Ah, you tried to start.
And now his uncle's magazine had holes in it because we tried to scratch the stars.
Oh, do you remember which magazine, what the magazine was called?
It was Scope magazine.
Oh, Scope. What was that?
But he also brought Penthouse magazine. So, like I said, and
we... Who was his friend and who was their dad?
It doesn't matter. The dad was a very powerful politician at the time.
Oh, no.
But the point I'm making, though, is we can either be in denial about exactly what our kids have access to and become allies so that they don't do dark shit behind our backs.
Basically.
Or we can sit back and watch them crash and burn, because they will crash and burn.
Or pretend like we don't see.
Yes.
Basically, like you're saying. It's really, really crazy. But I'm very proud of Thando and the decisions she's currently making and how she's communicating. Mm-hmm. I've been sending her to therapy because I think, I don't know about you, do you think we're not taking for granted the fact that because we are in the position we're in our industry or because of our industry, how it affects the rest of our family and especially our children?
Dude, it's one of those, you kind of hope they don't see it, but it's better you have a conversation with them so that in the event they see it, they can contextualize it. But don't keep your kids in the dark about what you're going through, especially if it's of public knowledge.
And forget. Okay, so there's that.
Yeah.
But I often forgot that whenever the light is shining bright on me, the shadow is on those who are keeping me and holding me up and got my back. Yes. How do I shine a light on them?
Those unsung heroes.
Right. Yeah. So my child, I think, to a certain extent, is probably sometimes finds herself in my shadow where people are asking her about me at school or whatever.
Or her dad.
Or exactly. Yeah. Or my sisters, or my cousins, or my friends as well. And I think that we really need to look at the situation, and especially with our kids, send them to therapy. If you're famous out there and your child hasn't gone to therapy, go and check that out. We even have group therapy so that you can have a better understanding of their position, their situation, and how it affects them, because it has ended up affecting my relationship with some of my family members because they are trying to act like they don't care that I'm famous. They're going to treat me like I'm normal, where they end up actually hurting me instead. So that for me is actually what I was referring to. And I think I'm growing a lot from that because I'm now cognizant of the fact that that's a real thing.
Sure.
Yeah, instead of ignoring it. But yeah.
Like I said, because we're being shouted at, we're going to have to wrap it up. Even your manager is giving us the over the Breles look. So it's been 3-4 years of learning how to deal with things and unlearning old habits. How far are you on that journey? Would you say you are 80% healed, 100%? Because it's never 100%.
No.
But are you winning?
I'm a winner, naturally. Mm. So I am going to win. I think I am winning. I think every step is a win. I think if you're at 0% and you find yourself at 0.5 or 1, you have won because you are now obviously unlearning and making new decisions. I think the day you win is the day you realize how powerful your mind is, no matter what your IQ may be. Your mind is so powerful that I am going to say right now that, you know, obviously I would say this alone is, okay, I'm going to make a lot of money this year. And if you just keep saying that or thinking that, your mind is going to create the reality of your environment and your personality as well, and not holding on to the past. So I think I'm definitely winning. I am winning.
Sure. Where do we catch you where when?
I'm at the Durban July this weekend.
Okay, we'll see what the
Durban. When was the last time you were there?
I'm there every year.
Oh.
Dude, my Durban July is wild. So Friday tonight, I have 2 gigs. Saturday, I have 9.
Saturday, 9 gigs?
Yeah, we're doing 6 at the race course and then 3 away from. So wherever you are, you'll probably see me.
I'm probably going to find you. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll be at 6 of the marquees and then come back to Joburg on Sunday.
I think I'm with Platinum Lounge booked me, and I think they have a marquee in at the Durban July, and then I'm doing a golf day with them on Sunday.
No.
And then generally, guys, catch me on those Black Pearl hair bottles. Keep supporting that. Black Rose is doing so well. I had an amazing something that happened last week.
Black Rose is your gin.
Black Rose is my gin.
And then your hair products, we use those at home.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's, no wonder you decided to grow your hair. Black Pearl hair is doing really well. We've also got a Black Rose collection of candles. That's really. I'm trying to focus right now on building things for myself instead of living in a world of dependency of producers, directors, and other people.
Yes, yes.
So right now I'm trying to build an empire for myself so that when I do get involved in other people's projects, it's not out of desperation or only because of the paycheck, because I want to, but also it doesn't become about how big or small the paycheck is going to be. So I'm building that right now. I'm actually looking to make some apparel. I'm writing some beautiful stories. I'm very, very pleased and impressed with where I am.
And then on screen, anywhere soon?
Wow, on screen, I did a short film. I produced it as well with Mo Abudu that's going to be making some festival rounds that's coming out. It's called Her Perfect Life. It deals with depression and suicide. So that's been, I'm making music. Yeah.
You singing or rapping or dancing?
I'll play it for you. I don't want to create any expectations for these people.
Are you going to make a song with MT?
I'd love to do that. I'd love to actually do that. MT. Umuntu, I'm actually MT. And you guys, leave MT alone. I don't appreciate all the things. The thing is that, can I tell you a secret?
Tell us.
I don't have access to my Twitter, so I can't go and like.
What did you have access to Twitter?
Such a long story.
So your management are handling your Twitter, basically.
That's what I want to say, and that's what I'm saying to people. But can I tell you, can I tell you the truth?
Tell me the truth.
You know, I did that thing where you like overprotect your Twitter because there was so much hacking.
So you don't know the password?
I know the password.
Yeah.
They gave these codes, you know, almost like it's like blockchain things, like crypto vibes. None of them work. So I have to find Twitter. Can you help me get access to my account? But it's worked out quite nicely that I don't.
Because now you can't tell people you're Ma.
Yeah, I mean, imagine you said, Paul, you're so beautiful. And I say, Unyogo. Like, that, your mother's also beautiful. So the energy you give is the energy you're going to get.
Okay, well, we need to get rid of you.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we are told.
Again.
Yeah, we're told we need to go. So thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much.
I've known you since you were hustling to get into the industry.
Right.
You were still a model.
Right.
But you wanted to get deep into the industry.
Right.
And I'll never forget meeting you at the engine at the airport. I think you just auditioned for Tropical Island of Treasure at the time. To be one of the presenters. And yeah, your hustle has been incredible. So to watch you grow to the woman, the beast that you've become, for me is quite incredible. Because I remember the young girl, the young woman rather, that I met at the airport.
That's so
crazy. Massive afro and stars in her eyes. Now you have become the star. So shout out to you.
Wow.
So yeah. And now you're even doing Disney movies and series.
Oh yeah. Woo, by the
way. Look at you.
Just like not, you know, isn't it unbelievable, like a dream though, to be in Disney?
What is Kizazimoto?
Kizazimoto's Generation Fire. So I play a character within there, and you guys need to go watch it. I'm on the 9th episode, but it's African stories told by African people in animation, which hasn't really been done before, not at this level.
It's never
at
been
least.
Done before.
I mean, people have been doing it on YouTube.
Yeah. No, you but know? This is Disney now. This is
okay,
like
this is
budget.
Disney now, on Disney. Yeah. And I love what Disney's done. It's so beautiful, and I'm so proud to be part of another thing that's like the first time it's happening on the continent. There's lots of other incredible people who are involved. Nasty C's in it, my little brother. Shout out to Nasty C. Yeah. And so it's very, very exciting. And it's going to be coming out, I think, on the 5th of July, yeah? On the 5th
Plus.
Of July, Disney Plus. Make sure you subscribe. Exclusively, it's going to be there and get to watch a girl or at least see a girl in action. I love animation. Guys, please, if you're doing animation, more animation Disney. The idea of just pulling up and going straight to work, no makeup, no hair, is so powerful to me, and not being worried about the rain and sound people, etc. Mm-hmm. Like, you just go. It was so much fun. I'm so excited to do something like that again.
So episode 7 of Kizazimoto.
Episode 9.
All right. It launches 5th of July, literally next week on Disney Plus. So your girl Pearl, buying herself.
Gabanga. And also it deals with social media stuff. So it's really, really interesting. The incident, my breastgate situation and the situation in the episode. In fact, Disney loved that there's a little bit of a, like a, almost like a realities crossing or meeting in that. But anyway, we're being chased out. So thanks, guys.
No, we're not being chased out. You're being chased out. You've overstayed by 30 minutes already, so.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Okay. But thank you very much, Pearl.
Thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to see you.
Love and respect you long time. And we'll continue to sing from tall buildings and tell the world about you.
Thank you. I still can't believe you know my name. You know how much love and respect I have for you.
Oh,
and the fact so that you know. No, I won't lie. Like, I tell you this off, you know, air all the time. Like,
yeah.
The fact that you know me, the fact that you know I exist, and the fact that you have the love you have for me is something I don't take for granted, you know, even at a personal level.
Yeah.
And the fact that we did that show together and then I ended up hosting it and you were so supportive around that was something that also meant a lot to me. So I just want to say more love. This is only the beginning even for you. There's so many great things that are still going to happen to us. And I'm so excited to see what the future has to hold.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Black Pearl Tusi. In closing, we'd like to send our warm wishes to all those dealing with the cold, but a special package of good vibes to anyone who had to deal with some tornado that just showed up in the neighborhood. Hope everyone stays warm, dry, and safe, and hope all of you have an incredible wow week in spite of yourselves. Shout out to AMP Studios, Africa Podcast Network, Pezulu Works for the cinematography, our audio imaging specialist, Otis the Flow Fraser, and our guests today, Stuart Taylor, comedian, and Pearl Tusi, creative director Kuvesh Mohan, and show producer Kelezo Modisa King. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com.